Basic Bananas.
Hi, and welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. Today, I've got one of my dear soul sisters and cheeky pants on the call, Heidi Alexandra Pollar, who is also a workplace culture futurist. She's also a uniqueness facilitator, an amazing innovator, a fun maker, and she is the founder of UQ Power. Welcome, Heidi.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's so great to have you here. Have you already done a show with you before?
I think we've talked once before about culture. Yeah.
I think we did, yeah. And we just on Friday, we attended a seminar together, which was on innovation, and it was great, and we had a lot of fun. And then you also told me that you have recently, and for the last probably few years even, been doing a lot of work in the futurism space. And I thought, oh, that would be so great to talk about, because I've never had a futurist on the call for Basic Bananas Radio. So let's talk a little bit about futurism. Maybe even first of all, our listeners are mainly small business owners and entrepreneurs. Yeah. How do you define futurism, and what is a futurist even? Like, you know, are you someone who builds science fiction things?
Great question. And, you know, not too far off the mark. In lots of ways, if you watch some of those sci-fi movies or things like in their time, Back to the Future, they were in a way kind of like futurist, and a lot of them have come true, you know, since then. So I know the guy at Apple who created the first tablet or iPad, he got the idea from Back to the Future, the movie where the professor actually holds a tablet and is using it. So lots of the inventions that come out of those sci-fi movies of people thinking about what could the world be like in the future actually go on to be produced and made as we get the technology and the knowledge and power and are able to do it. But really, in a way, I just think of a futurist like a reverse historian. So, you know, people who are historians look back into the past and, you know, kind of write down and collect the things and themes that have happened. And a futurist just does that, but in the reverse, kind of looks to the future and makes assumptions given where we are now and where technology and society and the world is shifting, where might we be in the future? And I think one of the nicest things about being a futurist, and I'm specifically a workplace futurist, so I help people look at designing their work for the future or their company or their business. The nice thing is we get to make mistakes, to get it wrong, because no one really knows exactly what's going to happen in the future. So we're kind of innovating all the time, and we get to kind of put a projection out there, try and guess what it might be. And sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't.
Yeah, I love that. What are some examples of companies that are doing a really good job at being futuristic? Because I know that there are certainly different types of companies. Some are very conservative and a little bit stuck in the past, and then some are on the other extreme. And you work with so many different companies across all levels. What are some companies that you think are doing a really good job at being futuristic, and why?
Great. So I think there's lots of companies that are doing things in their own little specific niches and spaces, but and in lots of ways, companies that are well known, like Apple, have been in a way futurist in that they took what was once a Nokia phone that was the most popular with all of the numbers and everything on the actual phone device and turned it into what we now have, which is a smartphone that is a piece of glass basically with one button. So that was really quite futurist, and combining music with emails, with the internet, with a phone and all of those things in one. But probably one of the companies that, you know, I'm in love with and I love what they're doing and I do think it's been a game changer, so is Tesla. So Elon Musk's company Tesla and what they're doing with the motor vehicle and transport industry. You know, I think I always say there was before Christ and after Christ. There was the before the iPhone and there was after the iPhone, and now I think there's going to be before Tesla and after Tesla, because I seriously think they're changing the world and the way we travel and what we see and believe to be kind of possible. So transport itself, you know, what has been in a way a rite of passage for people has been getting a license and, you know, learning to drive and those sorts of things. And really with some of the self-driven cars, you know, and more environmentally friendly, energy-saving cars, the way we get around and transport it is seriously going to change. And I think for the better for the planet, better for all of us who are time poor. They're saying he's also developing a high-speed transportation system that's known as the Hyperloop. And it's quite amazing. They've got a test one that they've been building, and it's kind of like a big, I guess, a concrete tunnel that has this train inside it. And it's part of his company called Space Exploration Technologies. And the fact is that it will mean that you can travel perhaps from one side of America to the other, you know, in a matter of maybe an hour or two. So super, super fast travel. And the best bit is no fluorocarbons, so not destroying the ozone layer and not wrecking the planet around us. So, yeah, there's lots of smart things going on in small businesses and in large, but probably my favorite at the moment would have to be Tesla.
Yeah, I love Elon Musk. He's one of my people that I actually study and look at how does he think. And I'm reading his book at the moment, which is a biography. Actually, someone else wrote it, so it's a biography about him, but he agreed to be part of it. And it's just a very, you know, this guy works very interestingly. He's certainly a futurist and an innovator. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that, but actually in Melbourne, they're making plans to build like whole Tesla towns or suburbs where it's not just even about the transport, but it's about even being more sustainable with how we live and mm-hmm. not abusing our planet more than we need to, which is such a that gives us a lot of hope for our planet, I guess, because we're not just abusing it.
Absolutely. And his cars, for example, you know, will no longer be using fossil fuels. They'll just need a recharging station. And I know he's limited at the moment. He's sold the Tesla that they've just launched. They've sold all of the allocations of the cars that haven't even been built yet. And they're limited by how much battery power, because there's not enough battery plants making the batteries for them. But apparently one's in the pipeline, and once that's built, there'll be a lot more of the Teslas on the market. But there's office blocks and buildings getting built in America at the moment, and they don't have car parks in them because they make the assumption that people won't be driving their own car, that they'll actually just use kind of like an Uber, you know, a self-driven car that they just book by their phone. You know, they hook up and say, I want to go from here to here. A car will pull up, they'll climb in. The car will drive them to where they want to go, and then it'll go on to its next passenger. So they say they could replace the 10 million or something cars that are in New York City, for example, with 7,000 self-driven cars, and literally everyone would be able to get a car within a minute. They'd only have to wait a minute to get picked up.
Incredible.
So, you know,
that's
which incredible. Is great. It's great for getting rid of that congestion and, you know, the stress, because a lot of people sit for a long time in traffic. And, you know, you'll be able to continue doing what you're doing, sitting as a passenger. But, some of the stuff that Tesla's doing is, you know, fantastic and great for the environment, as well as, you know, just, I think, advancing us and reducing, you know, our frustrations, which can often, as you know, you're a traveler like me, come from things like traveling. I think the new high-speed train that he's developing goes at about 700 and something miles an hour, so about over 1,000 kilometers an hour, so super, super fast. And it's all based on magnets and, I guess a contained space that has no resistance in it, because there's no air in it, so an airless vacuum, so to speak. So it'll be silent, clean, and fast, you know.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. That's incredible. What are some smaller companies that you work with? A lot of small businesses also. What are some of the smaller businesses that you have worked with or that you have seen that are being innovative and futuristic in their own rights? And then the next question, will maybe you can tie that in even, is for our listeners, what are some tips that you have for them to think a little bit more in a futuristic way that can benefit them?
Yeah, great. So firstly, I'll give an example of a small manufacturing firm that I've been working with here in Australia. And They manufacture basically springs. So metal springs that are used in the suspension of big trucks in mines and trucks on the road, that are used in all sorts of things where, you know, you have springs in your seat, in your car, where the wheels are, those sorts of things. So they make those metal springs. And, you know, they saw the writing on the wall that there was a lot of competition and a lot of things getting imported. And for them, it was a simple innovation of just thinking about what business are they in. And they kept thinking of themselves as a spring business. And when other people were getting competitive in the market, they were kind of concerned about, what are we going to do? Are we going to lose our market share? And we kind of questioned them a bit about, well, what business are you in? And instead of thinking springs, because that's what they'd always thought, you know, we kept saying, well, what business are you in? Because who else could you help with the kinds of, you know, things that you build? And it wasn't until we really came upon thinking that they're actually in the business of gravity. So they're in the business of keeping things up and supported and working against gravity. And it wasn't until they started to think about, we help people with gravity, that they started to innovate and think about a whole range of other products and things, or other ways that their products could be used and for other industries. And so that helped them really diversify. And I think that's a great example of future thinking about where else, you know, is there going to be a future need. Another company who really was doing well looking at the future was a boat building company. And that was a small business, so probably only about, I think, 12 staff, something like that. And they were building boats literally from scratch. And again, same thing, Chinese competitors started building very comparable boats to their boats. And the process of building a boat actually takes quite a long time in the building of it, and then doing the electrics and all the things that go with it. And they found that these imported boats were cheaper than what they could produce them for when they paid their laborers and, you know, went through the whole process. But what they did find was they were really quite good at the electronics component and the electronics that go into driving the boat and making it work. And so they started thinking about the future and realizing that they wouldn't be able to compete with the labor costs that are cheaper offshore. And they thought about originally having their boat shell built offshore and then bringing it in and doing the electrics and the wiring themselves. And then they thought, why don't we just sell and patent our electric system, because it's pretty clever. And so they had to change their business model, because obviously they had fiberglasses and people who were specialists in different areas of the business. And they've really become a technology company now, where they just do the electronics component, and they actually sell that to the Chinese companies who are building the boats.
Love it.
So, you know, it ended up becoming a win-win, but it really meant having to shift their whole business and think about what's changing around the world. So in answer to your other question, I think that's what small business can be doing. And they might go, well, I'm not an Apple and I'm not a Tesla. And no, you may not be, but even watching those big guys and going, what are the trends and things that they're following and creating, and how is that going to adapt for my small business? So it could be as simple as, people like convenience now, so how could my customer service be improved, where you know, my feedback form might be an app, or where I might think about, how do I make something easier, quicker, faster to use. It can also be thinking about your staffing. So for a lot of small businesses, they've always thought that I have to hire employees, and often that's one of our biggest expenses. So I often say to them, think about, how can I creatively, like a Hollywood movie, bring together the right people that I need for the project or the time I need them, and then let them go again. So rather than having permanent staff, how can I use perhaps virtual assistant services? How can I use technology to help me do things? So there's lots of, I guess, technologies and things that you can use to get smarter with how you build your business. But really, there's also great reports and things out there in the world that talk about future trends, like the fact that water is going to become the most precious resource in the world. You know, what are you doing? Are you using water in your business somehow for one of your processes? And what might that look like if that becomes the most expensive thing that you can buy? You know, staffing, as I said, look at other options. Artificial intelligence will probably replace about 500,000 jobs here in Australia in particular in the next 10 years. What does that mean for my employees? Should I be reskilling or upskilling them in something? You know, do we have good programming or IT skills? they say things like depression and obesity and issues like that will be a problem because of people's sedentary jobs and sitting behind a desk. So what could I do to even make my environment more pleasant so that I'm a competitive employer that people go, you know what, I want to go and work for them because they've got a cool culture and they look after your health and those sorts of things. So I think it's about walking in, you know, future steps in your what your future self might be doing and what's happening around the world, looking at the trends and starting to say, how could we adapt our business now? I know lots of small businesses that have great life-work balance and flexibility for their staff, and they may have no set hours now. I recently just visited Zappos in Las Vegas in America, and they have a rostering system because they're 24/7 service where staff choose their own hours. So they have to do a 40-hour week, but they can do that however they like, so long as the service is there for the customer. So someone might do 2 hours on a Monday morning and then do 6 hours on a Tuesday night because that suits their family and their life. And I think that's how we as small business need to think about what could I do to adapt and make sure I'm still looking after my customers, but I'm also creating a workplace that people want to come to work for.
Yeah. I think that's really important. And, you know, sometimes also for our listeners, we know we shared some big examples and also some smaller examples. Sometimes even just you can do some little things like that, like the staffing hours, for example, or like mm-hmm. You mentioned the health. So even mm-hmm. just one little thing, if you go back into your workplace and you go, you know what, I actually want to encourage my team members to be more healthy. And I know one of my friends, what he did, which was very cool. He said, I want to encourage my team members to be more healthy because, you know, healthy people are more productive, they're happier, blah, blah, blah. So he said, I'm giving them 2 mornings of the week off until, I think, 10 o'clock, but yeah. only if they can prove that they went to the gym or did some sort of exercise, which is really cool. I thought that was really cool. So, but
that's awesome.
And, you know, they don't even have to prove it. They just have to be honest with it. But if they go and do exercise, they can come in at 10 o'clock. And that's all that's very cool. One thing that we implemented actually quite a long time ago now, and it was thanks to you. And I remember I was spending some time with you in Newcastle. And then I came back and I said, hey, a really smart idea, which you shared with me, was a business that has, we call it actually, you know, sliding hours or gliding hours in German, uh-huh. where you just say, hey, look, you have to only be there between 10 and 3 or 10 and 2. And then whether you want to come in early or stay late, it's up to you. And we've implemented that with our team and they love it. The guys love it. Sometimes they come in early and then they leave early if they want to do something in the night, or some of our team members, they are into surfing. If the surf is really good, they come in late because they surf in the morning before the wind is up, and then they stay late. I think that sort of, you know, those are little improvements that everyone can make that you share. So I thought your examples are fantastic.
Perfect. And I think one of the differentiators that small business can have and really win in the market because of it is, as bigger multinational companies rely more and more on technology, and we all know how frustrated we get when we ring a telco and we get the automated press this for 6 for this, 7 for that, you know, and you get an automated message and you've got to talk to a machine, is that the more high tech the rest of the world gets, and big companies are going to be doing that for efficiency. So they're going to be going super high tech, is small business can differentiate by being high touch. Exactly. Because in actual fact, people crave being part of a tribe. They crave Absolutely. Being seen and heard as an individual and as treated as unique. And what often happens is the more high tech we get, the more disengaged we get from real human interaction. So small business can actually have a real differentiator by giving great service, by going that extra mile, and by being really high touch, by knowing their customers really, really well, and by serving and delivering and anticipating their future needs. So I think that's where small business can really create a niche. And there's lots of people going back to, you know, local markets, wanting to buy local and do things locally because they miss that tribe. So I do think that's where small business can really flourish.
I agree. Now, to finish up, do you have any recommendations of resources that you would say people can that are listening to the show could watch or read or consume? Any websites, any talks on YouTube, anyone that you think they should follow in terms of being more futuristic and innovative?
Sure. So there's a group that I'm a member of called the World Futurist Society. So they're based out of America. But the World Futurist Society is a great place to go because I guess they're a portal to everything future. So there are some amazing reports. There's some fabulous speakers and people out there. But what I kind of recommend is probably if you go to the World Futures Society, they're kind of like a one-stop shop where you'll get access to a lot of that. So probably that'd be the best port of call to start with, I would say. Yeah.
Perfect. Love it. That's amazing. And where can people find out more about you and what you're up to nowadays? You have some really great projects coming up. So where can people follow you?
So people can follow me on Instagram, on Facebook. LinkedIn is probably one of the best places under my name, Heidi Alexandra Pollard, on LinkedIn, because I post lots of articles about the future of business and what's going on there. Or our website, of course, www.uqpower.com.au. And one of the things I love to do, I'm a front-end woman. I love to come in and disrupt you and scare you and shake you up and get you thinking about what could the future look like and help you then, you know, think about what could I do to adapt. So we're always open for coming and speaking and just doing a little talk if you like in your workplace. So check us out on the UQ Power website on our speaking page and, you know, let me know if I can be of help or come and talk at a group you've got going or even in your workplace.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I need to get you back into our business because we've had talks from you in the past and every time we get you in, the team loves it. They love you. They love your ideas and we always walk away with so many great insights and things we can implement. So yeah, totally recommend getting you on board and I'm going to have to book you in too in the near future, maybe when we have our offices renovated, to come in and spend some time with our team again too.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks again for your time today. And I can't wait to catch up soon again and get into uncontrollable laughter over something silly.
Fantastic. Thanks, Francisca.
Thank you. Thanks, Heidi.
Basic bananas.